Well, almost 13 years after Indonesian customs officials found 4.1 kilograms of marijuana in her boogie board bag, Chappelle Corby is due to return to Australia tomorrow. She served more than 9 years in Indonesia's Karobokan jail and 3 years on parole in Bali for a crime she claims she never committed. Indonesia's Drug Enforcement Agency opposes Chappelle Corby's deportation. It alleges she was a member of a narcotics syndicate and she could get back in contact with them once released. But one man who maintains Chappelle Corby is innocent is investigative newspaper journalist Tony Wilson. Will this return home be the last we hear of Chappelle Corby, I wonder? He followed her case for the Gold Coast Bulletin from 2004 to 2008. He's the author of a book titled Chappelle, The Final Chapter. I spoke with him earlier.
Good morning.
There will be many people, I'm sure, across Australia that are hoping that this might be the last we hear about Chappelle Corby and her story. Do you think there's any chance this is the end of it?
No, I'm afraid not. I'm sure she, more than any of them, plus her family, would be wishing that as well. I think she'll face an enormous media pack when she gets off the plane in Brisbane on Saturday. And sadly, I don't think she'll face any peace. I think she'll be something of a recluse, spending her time between her mother's house and Logan Lee, which is between Brisbane and the Gold Coast, or the family home at Tugan on the southern end of the Gold Coast. And I don't think the public will see much of her, certainly not in the first few months anyway.
And what is the familial dynamic like? Is she being welcomed back into an environment that is going to look after her? Is she going to be on her own, in your view?
She's got an amazingly strong and supportive family and group of friends who will do their best to look after her and out for her. How the general public perceives her, I'm not sure. She's had a paranoia about people pointing at her and staring at her and pointing cameras at her ever since her arrest. And I'm afraid that that's not going to go away anytime soon. Imagine her walking through a shopping centre in Brisbane or the Gold Coast. She'll be stared at, whispered at. People will point her out and she will loathe it, and I don't think she'll do it. Or if she does do it, it'll only be the once.
Do you think the family regrets, or do you think she resents the fact that members of her family, you know, sold the story and kind of engendered this level of interest over the years?
Yeah, I don't know that, to be honest, they made that much out of the story. Where they have made some money, to be quite honest, is where people told absolute lies about her and they won some quite significant court cases, particularly one against Channel 7 in the Supreme Court in Sydney. But I don't know that she's probably fully aware of all the media attention. It just was never possible to explain it to her in that prison. That prison is like any prison. You're in a different life, different world. And some of the things I think over the years they kept from her deliberately that were pretty hurtful, but how much of it she'll now find out, it's hard to know.
I think it's fair to say most Australians will have a view one way or the other about whether she was guilty, whether she knew what she was doing. You've heard all the theories. You are of the view that she's innocent. Why are you so firm in that conclusion?
There's a lot of reasons. One of the main ones initially that made me doubt that she was guilty was she'd been to Bali plenty of times before. She knew the rules. If you were of a mind to want drugs, they're so readily available and so cheap on the streets of Kuta, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever to take drugs in and run that risk. And she knew the risks, like all of us that have been to Bali. There was talk numerous years ago about Australian supergrass and things like that. And I chased all those theories down and they never led anywhere at all. I couldn't find anyone in Bali that had ever tried it, heard of it or whatever. So, yes, the quality of Australian marijuana is certainly higher than that of Bali, but you could just buy more of it for a cheaper price. So if you try and work it out logically on that ground, that was where I first started to have doubts about her guilt. I couldn't get sense of it. And then the more I got to know her family, the more I was convinced that this wasn't what she'd done. And when I finally met her and looked in her eyes that first time in Karobokan prison, I was certain I was looking into the face of an innocent woman.
Isn't it the case, though, that if you accept that kind of logic, it also applies for a drug ring or a drug syndicate, you know, larger scale operators, there wouldn't be much reason for them to import that kind of stuff into Bali either. Not much profit to be made, I might add.
No, but most of the drug issues we've seen with Bali have been going the other way. It's been people trying to bring drugs out of Bali, coming from either Bali itself or somewhere else in Asia,
sure,
into more lucrative markets like Australia.
But why would a drug syndicate try to get that amount of marijuana into Bali, given, as you say, it's so readily available there and cheap?
Well, that's exactly right. I don't think that was the case at all. I believe the drugs were put in a bag, either in Sydney Airport or Bali Airport, as a decoy for a bigger drug shipment. If you remember back to the Sydney situation, the bags were left unattended for quite a while in an area that wasn't under camera at the time, and there was, in fact, a drug shipment came into Sydney that very day, albeit that it was cocaine from South America. And as a long-term police reporter, I was always taught by senior police officers, never believe in coincidence. So that's one of the stronger theories in my mind. But I had Bali police tell me they thought it was a decoy with the drugs put in a boogie board bag in Bali Airport itself to draw attention away from a large shipment of drugs coming out of Asia via Bali to the Gold Coast, where at the time of year you had both the Indian Motor Racing Carnival and Schoolies, both events which generated a lot of drug use.
Given that, as you say, you don't think this will be the last we hear about Chappelle Corby, do you think that she is going to want to court, you know, further discussion of this matter? Do you think that, you know, as far as the history of this, all the facts that will ever be known are already known?
I don't know what will happen with her telling any further part of the story. She's obviously going to be subject to the Proceeds of Crime Act, which will preclude her from doing a lot of things. I think she'd be very happy if the whole thing was forgotten and she could attempt a normal life. But I think Chappelle Corby and a normal life are going to be a very difficult thing to go together.
Tony Wilson, we appreciate your time.
Thank you.